You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. It has been a busy couple of weeks for education news here in Idaho. Even as the school year is winding down, education continues to be a hot topic, whether it is about bullying in schools or next week's bond elections. This coming Tuesday, May 21st, 17 rural Idaho school districts will have bond or levy votes. That adds up to almost $54 million. So, who's looking for more cash and why? And Idaho Ed News reports the state's bullying rates are high and they are going higher. With me live in studio is Kevin Richard of Idaho Ed News. He's going to break all of this down for us and more. Welcome back to the show, Kevin.
Thanks for having me. It's kind of like end of semester. We're cramming here for finals.
Right. It feels like the end of a school year, right?
Where everything's
coming down to. Okay. So let's talk money first off. Rural schools all over the state are holding elections next week.
Yeah, so these are elections that tend to kind of fly under the radar anyway, because schools can go to voters for bond issues or levies four times during the year, including the third Tuesday in May, which is not usually a time when people are thinking about elections. Not a lot going on here locally in the Treasure Valley. None of the big districts have proposals on the ballot. The nearest one to here is probably Emmett, is looking to renew a supplemental levy, but for the districts that are going to voters on Tuesday, these are a big deal. I mean, and some of these are proposals that the districts have been looking for in the past. They're taking another run at trying to get a voter approval for a bond issue or a levy. So in some locations, in some communities, these are pretty important elections.
And when we talk about them being in rural districts, is there something to that we're looking at rural districts who are needing this money?
I think this time with this election cycle, maybe it's a little bit coincidental that it just happens to be that the districts that are going to voters are rural communities. But when you talk about the supplemental levies, and we've talked about this before, over 90 school districts across the state have a supplemental levy that voters have approved at one time or another. So, you know, and that's out of 115 school districts in the state. So do the math. Almost every district in the state, including most every large district in the state, have to go to voters at some time, at one time or another, to seek extra support, to seek local property tax money to supplement what they're getting from the state. You know, to the point where administrators bristle at the idea of calling it a supplemental levy, even though that's the legal term. They're saying, look, we're using this for essentials. We're using this to help pay teacher salaries, to pay for benefits, to pay for the HR aspect of running a school district, which is the biggest expense for a school district. So, for a lot of school districts, these supplementals are anything but supplemental.
They're critical to them being able to run their school districts. So when this comes up for a vote on Tuesday in these school districts, so explain how this works. Is it a two-thirds majority, how normal elections work? Because also you have low turnout. So I'm just curious as to how all of this could play out.
You do have really low turnout. Now, for supplemental levies, it's only a simple majority that's required to pass a supplemental levy. So for the most part, over the past few years, most school districts have succeeded in getting support for supplemental levies. The vast majority of them do pass, and some of them pass pretty widely. When you start talking about bond issues, then you're talking about a much higher threshold. I mean, that's a two-thirds supermajority requirement that districts have to face. And it's not just school districts. I mean, any local government that wants to go into long-term debt, whether it's a school building or a jail, as we've got Canyon County going to voters, you got to get that two-thirds supermajority. And that's tough to do. So case in point, coming up on Tuesday in the school elections, the biggest ballot question across the state is Minidoka County over in the Magic Valley. They're going for a $21 million bond issue. They had an identical bond issue on the ballot in March. Got 62% support. I mean, that's a pretty sizable majority when you think about it, but that's not two-thirds. So they fell short, so they're going back to voters again next week, hoping to get over that two-thirds threshold. And you see this frequently. You see quite often school districts have to go back sometimes multiple times, sometimes several times, to come back with a bond issue, a similar bond issue. Maybe they tweak it somewhere along the way, trying to figure out what it will take to get to that two-thirds threshold.
I'm speaking with Kevin Richert from Idaho Education News. We are talking all things education. Kevin, I want to switch topics here and talk about bullying, because you found out that Idaho's rates are not only high, but they're rising. And we're talking about bullying within schools, correct?
Yes. I mean, these were some sobering numbers that came from a national report from a few weeks ago. What this report did is it looks at a lot of indicators of school safety, indicators of safety in the schools. Bullying, weapons in schools, and weapons can be anything from guns to knives to clubs to drug use to alcohol use, to try to get a sense of the school climate. And the numbers on bullying were really startling to me and kind of what I focused on in the story. You know, when Idaho's 9th to 12th grade students were asked, one in four said that they were bullied on school grounds.
Right.
One in five said that they were bullied online in some form of cyberbullying. So we're talking 20-25% of students said, yes, I feel like I've been bullied. Mm. Those numbers have increased over the past few years. At the same time, the national numbers are actually going down.
Okay, so do we know why that's happening?
No, I don't think that there's any easy way to quantify what's going on here. When I spoke to one administrator, a vice principal in the Nampa School District, he said that, you know, one thing that's happening here, perhaps, is, and in a way, this is a good thing. He feels like maybe kids are being more honest now about what's really happening in their lives and what's really happening in school and what's really happening on their social media feed. Maybe they feel more comfortable coming forward to a teacher or to a counselor or to some trusted adult and saying, you know, this is going on and I feel like I need help.
So what are these administrators then saying about how they're handling these things? Because this is I would assume an anonymous survey where kids are saying that they're being bullied on school grounds or online. Is that correlating to them actually reporting? And then if they are reporting, what are the schools doing? What are the school districts doing?
Well, let's talk about Nampa again, Columbia High School, where I kind of focused some of the story. They're doing several things. For one thing, they've built some mentoring into the high school schedule, which means that a kid will have some time with an adult as a check-in. And it's not just a check-in about how are you doing on homework, how are your grades, but a check-in on, you know, how are you doing? How's everything going? How are you? In hopes that that's going to encourage students to feel more comfortable coming forward if they're facing any kind of a problem in their life. Columbia is one of those schools that has one-to-one learning devices. So every student has a computing device that they use for school. There are filters on the computing devices, the school-issued computing devices, so they can see if a student is using that device to bully another student. Now, of course, the limitation is the filters only work on the school-issued device. So if a student is bullying a classmate on a cell phone or on a home computer, the filters don't extend to that. But what I heard, and not just from Nampa, is sort of a message of administrators taking this seriously even the first time. Even if the student who did the bullying comes back and says, I was only kidding, I didn't mean it to be this way, I was trying to joke. But, you know, the administrators say, look, you got to take it seriously the first time out, and you've got to make sure that students know that you could be suspended, you could be expelled, you could face criminal charges. That this is not a laughing matter.
And another thing I wanted to point out about what you found out too, and you mentioned this about weapons possession. This is high too. What, almost 10% of students said they carry some type of weapon at school here in Idaho?
Yes, but those are really interesting numbers. Because the way this study defines weapons, we could be talking about guns. Mm-hmm. And actually, the gun numbers in Idaho schools were quite low compared to the national average. So relatively few students bringing guns into school. But weapons can also include knives and clubs. And knives is where the issue really comes into play. Because, you know, as I was hearing out in the field, lots of times, you know, a student, you know, goes hunting, goes fishing, works on a farm, they may have a pocket knife in their pocket or in their backpack, and they may not think anything of it. And it may be a pocket knife, and they may have no malicious intent whatsoever. It may be an innocent oversight that they've got a weapon in their backpack. And so what the administrators will do in that case is just say, yeah, don't do that.
Right.
Don't bring that to school. You're not going to be suspended. You're not going to,
But don't do it again.
But yeah, just leave it at home.
Remember what's in your backpack. Let's talk about the Marion Pritchard School, because this is the school in Boise. So Kevin, for people who may not be familiar with it, give people an overview of what it is and then what's happening, because there's a whole evolution.
Yeah. This is a piece of history in the Boise School District and in concert with the Salvation Army. The Marion Pritchard School has been opened. It's been open in the North End since the mid '60s, and it is a school for young mothers or for students who are expecting a baby. So it's for high school students who are, they're either already mothers or they're mothers to be, and the whole premise of it is to give students more of a climate where they can first of all be near their kids.
Mm-hmm.
There's on-site daycare.
But learning,
they can learn in a little bit more of an environment that is a little bit more understanding of the life issues that these students are facing, in addition to academic issues. The school is moving; it's moving to a new location that will be on Emerald Street, kind of a little bit west of Boise Town Square Mall, and. Part of the hope is that it's a larger location. First of all, it's going to have some new amenities that the old school didn't have. The hope also is that by putting this school out towards West Boise, enrollment might actually rebound. The enrollment has been dropping, and the hope right now is that perhaps if you move this more towards Meridian and Nampa and Caldwell, students might be able to enroll in the school. It's an open enrollment school. Mm-hmm. Even though it's run by the Boise School District.
But better access for students
in
other areas.
Access is really a key, because the North End location it's sort of tucked away.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very transit friendly, like a lot of Boise. This location is a lot more transit friendly. I mean, it's on a thoroughfare. It's near some bus routes. And like I say, this is an open enrollment school, which means that the Boise District will take students from a neighboring school district if they can get to the school. The onus is on the student or the family to figure out how to get the student to the school. So they're hoping that that's going to maybe help enrollment rebound. But a big change also is in the learning model. Because the enrollment is dropping, the school is going to move maybe to more of a hybrid model, where a lot of the classes are going to be taken online at the school, but online as opposed to face-to-face learning with educators. So that's a big change, and that's going to be, I'm working on a story that I'm going to publish early next week, kind of looking at the transition and the future. That switch to a hybrid model that's a significant change in the way you're delivering education and how that's going to work with a population of kids who are facing a lot of life challenges,
right,
in addition to academic challenges. That remains to be seen. That's a big question moving forward.
And you'll have that article next week.
Yes.
All right. I want to thank you for coming in today. My guest, Kevin Richard with Idaho Education News, getting us updated on, I think, all things education. I think we
covered a lot.
I think we covered a lot. Thanks, Kevin.
Up next,
hearing loss. It is becoming more common in children. We're going to look at why. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.